Impossible landscapes is those moments in which everyone can relate, because we all go through. It's those moments in which you face for a really challenging situation that you don't necessarily need to find an answer or resolve or a happy ending on the situation. Sometimes you have to let it go and kind of surrender and carry on. But your life is based in those small little victories and defeat, and both are part of life. So when I create Impossible Landscape, for me, it's more like a those response in which you find yourself emotionally challenged and that you need to let it go, but you don't know how to let it go. And reading books, they always talk about this biggest thing out of yourself. So for me, it was like, okay, what is more amazing, bigger than me, and is it landscapes, is the ocean, is the sun, the clouds, rain, snow, all those things that I don't necessarily understand, but I live with, and it's bigger than me. It makes me feel small and kind of part of something that is not just my own life.
Luisa Fernanda Garcia Gomez is a multidisciplinary artist who is currently working on a collaborative project in Park Rapids, Minnesota at the Namath Art Center. Her exhibit at the Namath is called Impossible Landscapes, and much of her work is a response to the violence that she experienced as a child during the time of the narco trafficking wars, where she grew up in Colombia. Surprisingly, her work is beautifully colorful and gives off a very positive vibe. It's abstract, multidimensional, with many layers of shapes, colors, line, dimension. In a way, it is an explosion of joy. She is spending the summer in Park Rapids, Minnesota, and working on a project with weaver and textile creator Bruce Ingebretson. Bruce has his giant loom set up in the Namath, and he is creating textiles from Luisa's abstract art. I caught up with both of them to talk about their individual art and this project that they are working on together.
Impossible landscape is just those moments of fragility that you don't know what to do, but you need to just live with and then move on, basically.
I think about those trying times, you know, those tough times in our lives. Then I look at your work, there's a joy in your work. But now that you describe it as, you know, you look to the sun or to these bigger things than you to kind of get grounding.
Yeah, I feel like you always have the choice. You know, you are facing a situation, you can throw yourself a pity party, or you just can take the best of it, learn about it, just find some like knowledge or whatever it makes you feel, but try to feel a little bit positive, because at the end, it's the same, make you grow. Both situations, a joyful situation or a sad situation, the only thing that's going to make you grow and change your life. So you have the choice to have a sad response or to have a happy response. And I'm not trying to say like we all have to be happy about it. You know, with sadness and feeling and fragility is very important to feel. However, it's kind of like, why do you just don't try to feel it in a positive way? Why not? You know, why not? You have a choice.
So how is it watching your work become a tapestry?
I'm fascinated about textiles, of course, and I, part of my work is also influenced by them, like pattern making and fibers. And so when the name had invited me to work with Bruce, it was, well, at the beginning, I didn't know how awesome he is. Well, he was awesome personally. But as soon as I got to his studio and see his looms and his work, and he was just so great. So it was like this kind of idea of collaboration between him and I, in which we respond to an idea. This project is a community-based project. So basically, the piece is not done right away. It's going to be done in some point in September.
Right.
But it's based in the exchange of ideas with the community and human beings about just talking about those small victories and small defeats, and tell me about your life adventures and how you carry on with things that you don't understand. So those thoughts that's going to happen in exchange between other people is what is going to fit our case. And then it's the same dynamic with Bruce and I, him as a weaver and artist, how he responds to my drawings and my feelings, and it's like coming and back. There is like a sense of his tapestry that's going to go to a certain direction. Mm-hmm. However, things are going to keep evolving depending on those conversations that him and I were going to talk and have with the other people too.
We're working on this together, and she's the artist, I'm the weaver. Generally, that's the way it works. Weavers are often artisans, the craftsmen. In tapestry, they often work from a design that an artist has made. Anyway, it's looking real good, and we have a couple of pieces on the same loom that lay people, whoever comes in and wants to try their hand at sitting at this big loom, can do.
That is Bruce Ingebretson. He is the weaver, a fiber artisan, if you will, who is creating a tapestry out of the visual art of Luisa Fernanda Garcia Gomez at the Namath Art Center. I don't know much about weaving. I've seen a big loom in a woman's house once, and I remember just thinking, that looks like a lot of potential for problems.
Well, it can be. I'm really lucky. I had good teachers. There's different traditions in weaving. I think hand weaving and fiber arts in general in this country have two branches, a tree with two trunks maybe. One is the ethnic tradition. That's what I come out of. And the other is the arts and crafts tradition, which is very important. They serve different purposes. The arts and crafts revival of late 1800s and into the 20s really worked for the psychological benefit of people. And you saw people starting to get into crafts that had been maybe forgotten about or not done for the sake of the tactile, the being able to have some type of psychological benefit, I guess is the best thing I can say. Now, I didn't learn from that tradition. I learned from a tradition of ethnic people who were doing this. Actually, World War II has something to do with it. The people who showed me had really quit doing a lot of this work until World War II came, and Europe was into such disarray that the markets were such, they took spinning wheels down from the attic and started to spin again. So I had good teachers. Back to the looms. Yes, the looms are, they're big, they look complicated, and they are. I think the biggest misconception is lately, for the past 100 years, people have woven mostly rugs, rag carpeting on a loom, and that's what people will look at these looms, and they'll say, oh, that's a rug loom. My looms aren't rug looms. My looms are looms with the purpose of weaving material. They can also weave rugs. Rag rug is just a heavy piece of material, recycled clothes. Mm-hmm. But they can also weave real fine things like dish towels or shirt material or linen. And the looms have the wear marks to prove it. I could show people the fine like a comb marks in parts of the looms where the threads, fine threads, have wore down the wood.
You saw somebody doing a weaving demonstration at the fair, and that's kind of what ignited this?
That is. There were the state fair when I was quite young. I should look back in some old diaries and find out. And my grandmother had a spinning wheel, so I forced it to operate. And I had neighbors who spun. So, of course, I did some things wrong, but I was fortunate to have people in the community who actually still spun wool. And I was so fortunate to know those people. They helped me somewhat. Some relatives came from Norway a summer, some years later, and they really helped me, showed me how to card wool the right way. And none of these people were really middle-class people. They were really working-class people, and they weren't fussy about getting it done right, and they didn't have a lot of time for playing with fiber. We're going to play with fiber or something. None of these ladies had that idea in their head. They had other things to do, too, in addition to spinning, you know, at the time that they were spinning. It's a wonderful thing to have an ethnic tradition behind you.
I was on the Namath website. It looks like you're working on Luisa's image on the website imagery. Her work seems very whimsical. That goes against, I guess, what many people would think of weaving. They think of a square style pattern almost, vertical and horizontal lines. Your stuff is so different. How did you kind of come to that style?
Well, Luisa's her set of drawings, her portfolio that you've got here, it is called Impossible Landscapes. And how do you navigate an impossible landscape? Well, you have to be flexible. So I suppose I'm trying to have some flexibility, mm-hmm. I guess, in the weaving and to try and make things look fluid. It's all trying to fool people, I guess, because the threads underneath are straight.
And there seems like a lot of layers in her pieces, layering of colors and patterns and all that, and you're incorporating all that into these woven pieces?
Yes, well, I'm trying, and it's working out. It's working out. I'm happy to say I'm somewhat of a novice. People go often right to the term master weaver, and it's really not the right thing to do because there are master weavers. I think Canada has a program of that, but it's like a master plumber, a master electrician. There's a certain certification and education and paperwork that goes with that. I am a novice, and I like being an amateur. There's some real freedom and levity in being somewhat of an amateur. I hope I do things that make a good product in the end, and I think I do, but it's nice to have that freedom.
That is weaver Bruce Ingebretson. He is a tapestry artist who is working on a collaborative project at the Namath Art Center right now, along with Luisa Fernanda Garcia Gomez, who is a visual artist. In their collaboration, Bruce is creating a tapestry out of Luisa's visual art. How big do you think it'll be when it's finished?
Well, I'm hoping for 21 by 34 inches with a bigger border on it. But I have to be flexible, too, and see if it's going to be that large or not. It's going to be 21 inches wide, I know that. So it'll be something, I hope, sizable, big enough to do justice to her work, too.
Do you think that's one of the lessons that weaving has taught you over the years, is this flexibility notion?
Weaving can teach you a lot of things. I think the biggest thing that weaving has taught me is if you think something's wrong, it probably is, which doesn't seem very fun, but weaving has a lot of rules, and once you learn those rules, you can break them. But you have to know the rules first.
You can meet Bruce and Luisa tomorrow afternoon, Saturday, from 4 to 6. There is a reception at the Namath Art Center in Park Rapids. They are also spending a lot of time there this summer. You can stop by on Thursdays, Fridays, or Saturdays and catch Bruce in action at his loom. And you can also work with Luisa on visual art projects as well.
Being growing every day. The fun part of this is just if you come on a Thursday, you're going to find something different on a Saturday. And the next week is going to be totally different than what you saw before. So it's very dynamic in that way.
I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.